B-Pod Studios.
All right, it's a 3 o'clock hour. By the way, we got some stuff to tell you about coming up at 4 o'clock. But the 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. That's right. We have the big green giveaway at 4 o'clock, but we also have a major announcement at 4 o'clock coming up. That has, I think, the word in the hallway is it has something to do with the Mike Miss Open.
Oh.
That's what the word is.
That's what the word is.
I haven't been told officially yet.
Okay.
Because they like to keep this stuff from me until the last possible moment.
Right.
So at 4 o'clock, it has something to do with the Mike Miss Open.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting.
We've been waiting on news for that, too.
We've been waiting because we're affected by that.
There you go. It's almost as exciting as Tiger winning the Masters.
Yes. Maybe more exciting than Tiger winning the Masters.
The weepy scene. When he came off hugging his children
for years,
which I know got you, Tyrone.
It did.
Doubted we'd ever see.
Got me.
Got
clearly.
You. Well, got me as well.
Of course it did.
Here it is.
The return to glory.
Return to glory. There you go.
You hear that roar?
It was a masterful performance. It's not easy to hit the shots that he hit. He played the course like he was playing a violin. I mean, he knew every nuance of the course. He stayed patient. It was a brilliant performance that I never thought would happen, and it happened. Now, will he win another Open? Will he win another major? I don't know. There's a lot of good players out there, man.
It's a lot of good players. That was the mm-hmm. difference. But
I will say this: he seems like a kinder and gentler Tiger.
It seems like, from the outside.
Seems like it.
Maybe he's matured a bit.
It seems more human.
And it also seems like he might finally have the right partner in this particular
girlfriend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I personally always was way down on the first wife, on the wife. I was always way down on her mm-hmm. as an opportunist. And she sort of proved that by somehow marrying a guy even richer than Tiger after that. And the other like high profile people, I think Tiger, mm-hmm. with his age, I think he found like somebody who probably calms him down a little bit.
Yeah,
that's important.
Well, I thought it was really cool that the guys that he wouldn't give the time of day to normally all came out and congratulated him.
See,
well, it's the truth.
They're jerks to each other, though. You can't name a single golfer that's a good guy.
It's like
they're all bad guys.
He hasn't been close to anybody on the tour except himself. And I thought it was really interesting that they all came out and gave him a hug. Because they knew that he's the reason why they play golf. He inspired all of them to take up the game.
Yeah, and
they showed that tribute to him. They showed a tribute to him that he rarely has shown to others on the tour.
Well, they also respect the game above all else. So whether or not it was about Tiger, it's nice that it was about that.
All right. Let's go to Jay in the Northeast. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Hi, Mike. How's it going today?
What's going on, Jay? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm upset with Ben Simmons. I think now that it's obvious that I saw yesterday that he doesn't want to change or he's not shown any improvement at all. And I think Ben Brown has lost that locker room. So I know. So the way it looks, that they're not going to go anywhere deep in the playoffs as far as getting to the finals is concerned. So Brett Brown's going to be gone. So would you trade Ben Simmons? Because he's not going to change.
I can't trade him now. There will come a time where I would give up. I can't give up on him now. I just have to... Listen, if he can't get it, the hole in his game right now is embarrassing him. It's embarrassing him league-wide. If he can't take that within himself and do something about it, then he's doesn't have the heart I thought he had.
He has no kill factor, and it's showing.
No, you're right. And if next year he doesn't have a kill factor, then that's what he is.
Right. I have one other question. Do you think the Phillies will, despite how their pitching's been, like because they keep giving up a lot of runs, do you think they'll be able to overcome that, like the 2008 Phillies?
I think they need another piece, either a starter or a relief pitcher.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to check that out.
It's the same thing happening with these guys. You know, Eflin's finally got it, and then he gets blasted. And then Velasquez pitches well, and then, Pivetta, they trot him out there, and he stinks. And it's the same thing. They're going to show you a good game, and then they're going to show you a couple bad games. You just need more reliability.
All Right, because they keep getting outscored. When they lose, they get beat. They don't just lose by one.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, they're trying to figure out the bullpen. He's trying to get the guys, his important pieces are Dominguez and Robertson. He's trying to get them confidence. If those guys can maintain that kind of confidence, they're okay on the back end. I still think they need one more guy to solidify that. So, and I think they're going to add a starter. They have to add a starter to get more reliability. Dave in Atlantic City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's going on, Dave?
Hey, listen, so I agree a lot with what you say, you know, about the Ben being down on the block. But here's the thing. Brett Brown is a disciple from Pop, okay? And I personally watched when Tony Parker, towards the end of his career, in the first quarter, within the first minute, when Tony Parker would not do a design play, he would call a timeout with 11:50 or 11:20 to go in the first quarter, and he pulled him the whole rest of the quarter, and it was strictly because he did not do what he was supposed to do.
He didn't do that in playoff games.
No, this is regular season game, but it's all about Ben and knows he can't shoot. So he's got to know in his mind his strength is down there on the block. He's got a mismatch. So if I'm him, I got to get down there and I got to enforce my will, and he's a mismatch down there. So since he knows his strength, Brett Brown just does not seem to have the coaching ability. So either he's lost the locker room or he can't coach himself out of a bag. Now, I don't know which one.
Are you suggesting that he pull Ben Simmons?
No, I'm saying to you, if he's not going to listen to you and you say, Ben, get down there on the block.
You got to design plays to get him on the block.
Saying he can't do that?
That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you. They got four Stunads right now coaching this team.
So you agree with me that I think he's got to go. If they lose tonight,
there's only one way that Ben Simmons can score now. Right now, there's only one way you can score him. It's to get him on the block or in transition.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. So how does this kid not know this in his mind that he is a mismatch?
Because he's told to stay in certain areas of the floor. If he's told, okay, we're gonna run some sets here, and because Ben's got Hollis Jefferson on him, we're gonna run some sets for him down there. This is what we want to do. But I know I can't take T.J. McConnell on the floor anymore. I just can't take it. I'm sorry. I know there are people that like TJ McConnell. I can't waste minutes with him on the floor anymore, which means I got to do without a backup point guard, and I got to rely on Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris to handle the ball. I can't have TJ on the floor anymore. I can't do it. I'm sorry. You're wasting my time. There is nothing that he can add to a playoff game. Tate Mount Airy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tate.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Tate?
Appreciate you, man, about Tiger. But did you see how all the other leaders got tight and ended? And I think that means Tiger's back to me. Everybody got tight.
He relied on his experience in winning the Masters a lot more than those other guys did. That's for damn sure.
Right. But Ben Simmons, I didn't like it ever since we gave him the ball, who can't run a pick and roll, which 85% of every NBA play starts with the pick and roll. He can't initiate the offense. That's why we have the dribble handoff. Tyrone said a couple weeks ago, that's why Embiid gets the ball out so high, and that's why the dribble handoff was built around Embiid getting the ball out high and because Ben can't shoot. So I don't understand how we didn't think this would come back to haunt us once we got down to the top teams in the league. So the minute that Ben sees everybody stepping back, it's mental after that. He's done.
I agree 100% with it.
He passes off
to a wing, and then he just kind of wanders.
And then somebody's standing right next to him. He'll do a look away.
And he'll get low. When he does get in there, he'll make some stupid give-off pass instead of going straight up and floating the ball home. And he's like 5 feet from the basket. He's looking to dish. He dished to T.J. McConnell yesterday.
Exactly.
On a play. On the baseline. Can we have the wherewithal?
How do we think these good teams were not going to do the same thing? It's a copycat league. We can't wait.
They're obviously doing the same thing. But that's what I'm saying. So now you got to change it up and have him play in a 3-4 position on a set, offensive set, have him play in a 3-4 spot.
You change it up. Trade him.
Well, you don't trade him now. Change it up, trade him. I'm trying to win a damn series here. Trading him is not an answer. All right? But this triple hit him. The Nets, there's a story today. They're giving away their whole defensive strategy and what they're doing. Right? This is what we're doing. We're trying to take the dribble handoff away from Tobias and J.J. Redick. Guess what? You can't take away the dribble handoff from both on the same set. You can't do it. So if you're taking away one, the other's got to be put in a position where he can get an open look. That's got to be designed by your coach. What do they have, six people out there? Seven, Tyrone, they can shoot two guys to take off dribble handoffs from both those guys?
And one of those guys can't guard anybody in Dudley. Can't guard anybody. So here's the other thing you do. If Dudley's your big, what you do is when Embiid's not in, because you don't want to play Boban anyway, you go small, and you ISO whoever Dudley's guarding, and you go right by him and foul Dudley out because he stinks.
How much did they have to play Boban yesterday?
They paid it.
15 minutes.
They played him way too much. That was too much.
50-man period. Well, he scored 13 points.
Yeah, but he gave up how many? He gave up just as many, if not more.
He was actually a +3.
That's a little misleading.
J.J. Redick and Ben Simmons.
Yeah, -21, right?
Both -21. Now, see, this is what I'm saying. If you're both -21, you're getting picked out of a play. They're getting open shots. They're making open shots. Okay, that's a -2 for you. So if you got a kamikaze like Jonathan Simmons, use him as a kamikaze. Use him as a perimeter help defender. That's why you got him in the first place. And the same one when Ennis comes back. That's how you utilize those guys.
And he played Simmons and Simmons together for some reason and destroyed the spacing rather than use Simmons when Simmons wasn't in the game like he should have when Butler was on the ball. Instead, when Butler was on the ball, they had TJ playing off the ball rather than Jonathan Simmons off the ball.
He can't be on the floor. Tyrone, help me out here.
This is what he did. And people use the plus.
TJ McConnell can't be on the floor. I'm sorry. He doesn't add anything for you to be on the floor. He played 16 minutes of a playoff game yesterday. Ed in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
What's going on, Ed?
Hole 12, that was when Tiger, I knew he was going to win it.
Wow, well, my countryman Chokada?
Yeah, he did a little bit.
It's no good.
He was looking good. Pine cones in the water, everything. But he finally had a crack in his game. Yeah. And
Fanabala. That's what he said.
But, Mike, listen, you guys are on point with all these Sixers points that you're making. I don't know about tonight. I mean, I want to believe you that they're going to turn this thing around. They should have a handful of plays or something to get some true points that we know we're going to get. It's like Keystone Cops running around. It doesn't look good. Right in the first quarter, it didn't look good.
No. The Nets had control of the game from wire to wire on the Sixers' home court. Players determine who wins, but in this particular case, their offensive defensive strategies are non-existent, and they're letting an inferior team beat them.
They are. Ben's hanging on the rim when he gets one jam, and he should be getting a dozen of them.
Yeah.
If he, as fast as he is with those guys backpedaling, he gets into the paint, why does he not go to the rack?
Well, he's not going to go to the rack with three guys in front of him. He quits. He mentally quits. He believes he can't then get to the rack, which in most cases he can't. But that's where the coaching staff have to say, okay, well, I'm not going to get him a basket that way. I'm not going to get him a basket way because he's not going to shoot the ball. I'm talking about the coaching staff. So
no, I know.
This is what I got to do. When a guy like Damari Carroll is playing the three, I got to get Ben isolated on Damari Carroll because he'll smoke Damari Carroll and he'll smoke guys like Davis and Dudley and guys like that who aren't quick enough to keep up with him. But you got to figure out the mismatches. Damari Carroll can't handle Ben. He's their small forward. So stick him in a position where you got him playing against Damari Carroll. Frank in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
How you doing, Monkey?
What's going on, Frank?
Yeah, I just want to say I'm very, very disappointed. Not even just in Ben Simmons' game, but his post-game comments about the booing. He said Sixers fans should stay on the other side.
Ben's a brat. He's a brat. And, when you're a brat, you really don't understand the weaknesses in your game. Because you're in bratdom. The screw people that are talking about my lack of game. I'm Ben Simmons, you know?
Right.
Yeah, he lives in bratdom.
And I love the point earlier that someone made saying that the All-Star team this year was the worst thing for him because it just blew his head up even more.
Yeah, well, I don't know what else. I mean, the whole world now is tweeting out like NBA players.
It's the whole league. Yep, it's the whole league.
Really, it's like opposing players are saying like, if I'm Ben Simmons, I go, I'm embarrassed by that. I go, all right, I got to change it up here. I got to get some more heart. I got to do some things that I'm not used to doing. But I got to. But I know I'm capable of doing it, so I got to do it.
Yeah,
I understand the guy.
I do agree with you, though, Mikey, that we are going to turn this around, win the series. I don't think it's going more than six.
It's not going to go more than six. They're going to have to win a game seven here.
You think that's what it's going to go to?
Yep, I do. And unfortunately, that's going to zip their strength for any possible win in the second round. They're not going to win this second round.
That was my next thing. Do you think Joel Embiid's healthy?
I don't think he's healthy, and they probably should have sat him out yesterday. Maybe they would have had a better chance. They would have played differently. Got off to a different start without him playing. Because it screwed up the whole dynamic in the game. Oh, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? All right, what sets do we have to run now? And the coaching staff's all confused. The players are all confused. It's like, I don't know what to say, man. I'm hurting, dude. Well, I hurt watching that game. That was beyond expectations. You know, the fans booing had a right to boo in that game yesterday. They got nothing to come to that game. They got nothing from the other. That team gave the fans nothing. And so when you're frustrated as a fan, you boo and you show your frustration. We're owed better than what you're giving us. They're absolutely right.
And why does Ben, what makes him feel comfortable saying that about fans?
Because Ben is oblivious to the world. He's like I don't understand how a guy can know that people say that your main weakness is you don't want to shoot the ball and not want to do anything about it. That shows us a mindset of like, I don't care what people say. I'm Ben Simmons.
Well, and I feel like it's almost that attitude of I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. That's what he acted like, commenting on the fans that way.
I'm this transcendent talent. Who are these people to tell me about my game? And I don't know.
And if you win, fine. But you lose the game, then the fans can do whatever they want. You just say, we'll be better in game two. That's all you have to say. It's not hard.
If I came out of a game like that yesterday and had that little impact on a playoff game, I'd be saying, you know, I'd be punching mirrors. You know, like, what's wrong with me? Now, I'm overly hard on myself that way. So that's, you know.
Yeah.
Or
other guys would just say, hey, I'm on in the game too. I understand I'm on the game too. We're on the game too. Like, that's what Butler said. Mm-hmm. Butler was like, we're on the game too. We're going to tighten it up and be better in game. Yeah. That's all he had to say.
Because Butler was proud of his performance, and you could say that.
But right? Even Embiid said the fans had a right to boo. They pay a lot of money. We didn't give them their money's worth. Done. That's not a hard. I don't think you need media training to know to say that when someone asks you about a boo.
Yeah, I don't care what he says. I care. I care what he does. What he's not doing on the floor. Whatever. Knock yourself out. Whatever you're saying about the boos. That's irrelevant to me.
See, I care because of how he played. If he didn't play, that's why I care.
It's rankling, but I'm not going to obsess over that. I'm already. I've got seven different things I'm obsessed about when it comes to Ben Simmons. Before I get to the post game comment. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
3:30, Mike Vassella Show. Time for the Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Alrighty, Mike, we have over 1,900 votes on this one. Who had a worse game one? 22% say Brett Brown, 52% say Ben Simmons, 16% say J.J. Redick, and 10% say Tobias Harris.
Alrighty, sounds good. I had to, obviously, the people that know last week, it was on Thursday and Friday. So I had to do this, I emceed this event called Taste of the Master Chefs with all these celebrity chefs. It went off fantastic. It was a great event. And, I got to share, you share houses. They have housing. I guess, the charity gets houses that the people in Augusta rent out. So I shared a house with this guy. This guy was on The Voice. He was the entertainment for the event.
Oh, what was his name?
His name is Nolan Neal.
Okay.
All right. So the people that know The Voice know this dude. So he was a cool guy. Told me a story. It's like, you know, he's a Nashville guy trying to break in and how hard it is and the trials and tribulations of his life and the whole bit. We had a really good conversation. And if you Google Nolan Neal Tiny Dancer, because that's what he did on The Voice. And he got the four chairs to turn around, and he made it. He didn't win it, but he made it.
Oh, that's
but,
great!
But if you Google it, not the one that's on YouTube, not the one that's on The Voice, because that's abbreviated. So, like, listen to this. Like, the dude can sing.
Yeah, he can really sing.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a recovering person. He was a heroin addict, and the whole bit. And he's telling me a life story. And he left the event. Like, after the event, all the chefs staying around, and they just drink bourbon and start cooking the random stuff. So I got home pretty late, and I get, and he's like at 2 o'clock in the morning. He's on the porch swing playing his guitar.
Oh.
He was with his manager, and he brought this comfort dog with him.
Yeah,
you know, he was a cool dude, man. But you check it out. This dude's got some pipes.
Did you ask him to sing Fire and Rain?
I didn't ask him to sing Fire and Rain. Oh, no, because I'm, you know, like, I would love to do what this dude does. He just picks up guitars, and he's really talented. I hope the guy breaks in.
Well, you can play a snippet real fast.
Yeah, he got trapped. All right,
yeah, you can't.
Like, Tiny Dancer, when he hold me closer, Tiny, that's really when he shines, when his voice really shows up. Like, the opening part, or you can play a little of it. He's a great guitar player.
Jesus frees out in the streets, handing tickets out for God, turning back.
Yeah, this song got him to advance.
She just laughed
in The Voice.
Who is his coach?
The Boulevard.
His coach? Not
that bad. Who did he pick?
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch the show.
Oh, okay. I'll find out.
I have no idea. So if you can get to the tiny dancer part, hold me closer, Tiny. Can you get to that part where he goes up an octave?
Well, I don't know.
No?
No,
you need to advance it a little bit?
Yeah, I'd have to jump a little
further.
I think the one flaw with that version that he released is it's 6 minutes.
Oh, is it?
And that's, if I was like in charge, I would say he's got to do that. He can have the 6 minute version, but he has to also release the 3 minute version. Because that's the one that people would play on the radio.
You know, this guy, he lives out of a couple guitar cases and goes from gig to gig. I mean, it's really an interesting life. You know?
It's a tough life,
too. He lives from paycheck to paycheck, gig to gig.
That's a tough life.
No, I've really had a lot of respect for the dude.
Me too. Yeah. Overcome some stuff like that, yeah.
Let's go to Rich in Feasterville. Rich, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Rich.
Yes. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good, Rich. How you doing?
Good. Yesterday, when I was watching the Tiger Woods,
mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
You turn your radio off, Rich. Rich, you can turn your radio off.
Sorry.
All right.
All right, it's off. How you doing?
All right, good. Go ahead.
Yesterday, when I was watching the Tiger Woods performance,
yes.
That was unbelievable.
Yes, it was. Unbelievable performance. He just outlasted everybody.
Yes. And I was wondering, I noticed the look in his eyes was just focused and determination.
It was. It was like the old Tiger.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I'm not a golf kind of guy. You know, I'm more into the Sixers. Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, well, it was a great tournament because there were a lot of guys in contention, and any mistake could knock you out. That's what was compelling about the end of it. You know, and here's the thing I wonder about Tiger, and I'll have to give this up. I wonder if now the players who once looked at him as not a threat, now that he's won the Masters, I wonder if that semi-intimidation factor comes back where they now get a little bit scared of him.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yesterday, towards the end of it, you could see that the other guys started with their nerves and all that, you know. And it just, Tiger was on. He was on.
He was. And it affected my countrymen.
And I'm a first-time caller to the...
Well, I appreciate it, Rich. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, Francesco. Is it tough playing with a Tiger? Dio mio, the pressure. But I'm going to go back to the house and have a bigger bowl of fettuccine. Breaking news. The Flyers, ladies and gentlemen, have hired a new coach. It's Alain Vigneault, a very well-respected coach, former Ranger coach, I believe. Was that his last gig, Rangers? He's won a Stanley Cup, I think, this guy. Alain Vigneault.
That's pretty good. That's, wait. When did he win?
I think he won a Stanley Cup with Vancouver.
You've been a little...
If my hockey knowledge is not letting me down.
Yeah, his last job was the Rangers. Vancouver from 06 through 2013.
I think he won the Stanley Cup in Vancouver.
And he had two trips to the finals, but not a win.
Oh, he didn't win? He got to the finals?
He went to the finals twice.
With the Montreal Canadiens and Vancouver.
He went with Vancouver and with the Rangers.
With the Rangers? He also coached Montreal, I think. Montreal.
Yes.
For four seasons.
Yeah. So there you go. Very experienced coach. Got a track record. Pretty good hire for the Flyers.
And he doesn't have his all the Flyers ties like some other guys.
He has no Flyer ties.
That's what I mean. So you wanted that. You wanted outside. Obviously, the person who hired who hired him, Holmgren's still there, but this is different. They didn't go get a former Flyer.
Mm-hmm. Good hire. I like it. Good job, Flyers. All right, let's go to Phil in Ocean City. Phil, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Phil.
Hi, Mike. I'm calling about Tiger.
Yes.
First thing I'm going to say was your logic was sound and correct going into the Masters. However, we saw a different Tiger over the weekend. It was a thinking Tiger, a calm Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and in the war of attrition, he overcame it.
He did.
I was
kind of stunned that he hung in there. He was. I saw him on Thursday. He was 2 under. He had dropped a stroke. He was 3 under. He had dropped a stroke in the last two holes, and he walked right past me. And I gave him a head nod. He gave me a head nod back. You know.
Yep.
So for that, I think the proper karma was displayed on Thursday in my collaboration with Tiger.
Could be. Now, going forward, in the best page, I think he's going to have a problem. I think that's a course you need to overpower now. It's more for Dustin Johnson or Rory.
Yeah.
And I don't think he has that kind of game in him anymore.
Well, we'll see. I mean, listen, I thought the Masters, it was one tournament he was going to win, it was the Masters. He knows his way around the Masters. He knows. And if he was going to hit, you have to hit shots in the right spots. He also got helped by the fact that the greens were soft for 4 days.
Yeah.
And a lot of those balls that usually don't hold on those greens held for him.
Pebble's got a chance. Pebble, he'll pull out that stinger.
Yeah.
He's won at
Pebble, so we'll see what happens. Tyrone says he's going to win the British Open. And win the British Open, Tiger.
I just think he is. Yeah. That was the one I thought he was going to win all along.
All right. But by the way, my friend Lori, who runs that event that I was the MC in, says that Adam Levine was his coach.
Oh.
So
baby carrot.
See, I think
was his coach.
Mike.
And that's a bad move.
What?
Why?
Because he's he should have went with Blake.
Was it that season? I checked. He was the voice season 11. So was Blake on that one?
Yeah, I think Blake was.
I don't know anything about the show, so I can't tell you who's coach.
Blake turned around.
Mm-hmm.
Adam turned around, Miley Cyrus and Alicia Keys.
Ooh.
He should have went with Blake.
Yeah.
Blake is more his speed. Blake probably could have coached him and hooked him up with the right. That should have been the path.
Unless he wants to be a rocker, a country rocker, then he would go with Adam.
He's, I think he's headed towards the country area, trying to make it Nashville. But he was telling me all these perilous stories about Nashville and how corrupt it is. Is, you know, giving people get contracts by paying their way in, and he's looking for a sponsor and all this kind of stuff. I mean, the guy lives paycheck to paycheck.
It's rough.
He had two guitars with him,
yeah,
a dog and a manager.
He brought his dog.
He brought his little dog. And then all of a sudden, Saturday morning, he packed up. And, you know, boom, back on the road. On the road again.
Now we're all fans.
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Mesnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We got a lot to worry about here. Game two tonight. Sixers, New Jersey Nets. Must-win situation. I hate to think that it could turn out like Boston series, where they lose the first two, and you go, they've got no answers for this team. I'm trying to hold on that that's not going to happen, because the Nets are an inferior team to Boston. So, Tyrone, do you have that feeling at all?
Not at all.
Not at all.
No.
So, do you believe the Sixers will win this series and tonight will straighten everything out?
Yeah, I do. And I can't. Everything you've said so far, obviously true, because you're speaking facts.
Right.
They shot 12% from three. Like, as bad as they were, if they shoot 28% from three, they still win the game. And I think that the shooting kind of goes back to the mean a little bit, and I think that saves a lot of things, because I don't have a lot of faith in the adjustments part. I do have faith in the talent part, and I just don't think they're going to shoot 3 for 25 from three again.
All right.
That's the biggest reason why I think they win this game.
Let me counter this. Your point is a good point. However, we're talking about a deluded Tobias Harris.
See, I don't think he'll be deluded forever. I think he's good enough to have a good game.
I hope you're right. All I'm seeing is a deluded Tobias Harrison. That's all I've seen over the last several weeks.
You are absolutely right. And I also think that Ben Simmons isn't ready, but I'm a person who still believes in Ben Simmons. And I believe there's a heart beating in his chest, and he'll come out. And if he makes mistakes today, they'll be the right kind of mistakes.
Well, I hope he is coached differently in this game. The other thing I worry about is that a lot of the three-point shots that the Sixers have counted on over the last couple of weeks have been from an unlikely source.
Mike Scott?
Yes. And he looks like he hit the cooler.
I think it was just one-off. I think he'll be just fine.
He's not a three-point shooter. He can make threes.
He was 40% for the whole season.
I understand, but he's not really a three-point shooter.
If you're 40% for the season, you're a three-point shooter. He was 40% for the season. That's a whole season.
I understand. I think you're crossing your fingers.
I'm not crossing
on Mike Scott being a consistent three-point shooter.
I'm talking about, I think JJ and him and Tobias are closer to 40% than 0%.
Okay.
Is what I mean.
All right. Sean in Northeast. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
What's up, Mike?
How's everybody doing today? Good.
Been a long time since I called in. Didn't want to keep beating a dead horse. That is that Ben is not a point guard. And I think we missed the highest opportunity in the offseason to trade him at the time when I told you guys we should try and trade him for Kawhi.
What good is this conversation doing now?
Well,
you are beating a dead horse. It didn't happen, so you got to carry on. What's the point of saying, I told you so, they should have traded Ben Simmons?
Well, the point is now that we've seen throughout the year that the coach has seen it and has gone and relied on Jimmy to be the point guard at times, he needs to make that move now. before the series gets out of hand, like it did against Boston.
Well, I think you might be right on that. They might have to put Ben in a 3 or 4 spot.
He's a 4. He's a natural 4. He's a 20-10 guy every night if he plays the 4.
He might be right.
So until they get that out of his head,
this thing that they should have traded him is, you know, come on. You are beating a dead horse.
His value is just going to go down.
But his value might be different next year. All he has to do is one thing. Right? All he has to do is really one thing.
Yeah, but he's never done it in his life.
Okay, well, then, does that mean you can't do it? You never done anything in your life. Does that mean you can't do it?
Not to me.
Have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
Nope.
All right. Is it possible you could jump out of an airplane?
Sure.
All right. Well, that's all I'm saying. All right, Sean, you got it, buddy. See, I love this. I told you a long time ago that Ben, they should have done this. Well, guess what? They didn't. So now you're in a series against New Jersey Nets. You're down 0-1. So whatever you thought about Ben Simmons, he's not a point guard, they should trade him, it's irrelevant. You got to deal with what you got now. The conversations about that will happen after the season's over.
And he wouldn't be 20-10 at the 4. Not shooting would be worse at the 4. Than it is at the point.
Because you got to stretch at the 4. You got to take the step.
Right. At least with the ball in his hand, he can do all the stuff.
He always has to be a 5.
That's why he's a factor. He's a point guard. He just has to get better.
Jim in Havertown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, Mike, I never jumped out of a plane, and I never will jump out of a plane unless I'm shot in the head.
Yeah, well, nor will I, but it doesn't mean we are unable to do it.
Oh, yeah, I am unable to do it. I got a weight limit, man. I'm in excess of 350, brother. There's nobody dropped me out of a plane.
350? Dude, come on.
Hell yeah. Hey, man, I'm 6'4". I hide it well. You would never believe it when you see me. Nobody ever believes it, but it is what it is.
I bet you if I saw you, I'd say you're 350.
I guarantee you would. Guarantee you won't be able to pick me up. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Dude, you bet 350? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's no big deal, brother. It's like I called you out. What's the hair color? You just go for it.
You might want to mix in some lettuce, but go ahead.
That is good. I like that. That's good. Cool. I got a doppelganger for what's his name? Jerome over there, too, when we're done talking.
Yeah, all right, just get to the point. You wasted a minute. Come on, Jim. You're doing
Simmons,
it all the time.
Man, Simmons, brother, I thought Batman and Robin, I thought it was going to be him being Batman. That's what I thought about this kid coming out. And once again, I was dumb with Embiid. I knew Embiid was going to be good. I didn't know he was going to be great. Mm-hmm. But the kid, I think, is coached by his father to treat this as a business. He hasn't signed that max deal yet, obviously. So he got one big problem signing the max deal. He can't shoot. So do you want two big problems going into a max contract by being injury prone? I think the kid plays a little soft because he's treated it as a business so far. Hopefully when he signs that max contract, he can still go, in my opinion, into the Hall of Fame.
Wouldn't his business ventures increase if he shot the basketball?
Yeah, you know what? They're showing it right now, Mike. He's shooting with one hand. I've been saying that. This kid should shoot with one hand.
Treat it like a business. I mean, if you're going to make yourself a bigger entity, you shoot the basketball. And your business level increases. Frank and Mount Carmel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Hey, Mike. Couple of things. First of all, Simmons, if he started playing basketball at the age of 10, somebody should have noticed he had to have a jump shot. Obviously, many years, he didn't have much to play against. So he was able to drive and shoot. Second thing is, tonight, Embiid can't play the pick-and-pop game. First, he can't get to the basket quick enough because of the knee.
Yeah.
Second, his jumper from outside is being short. Mm-hmm. Why is it short? His knee is hurt and his legs are not getting under him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If I'm coaching that team, first thing I'd have is Butler or Harris bring the ball up, put pressure on their defense, because what they're doing is they're crowding that lane when Simmons comes down.
Mm-hmm.
You have either one of them two. They have to make a decision. Am I coming out to guard Butler or Harris? Because they can either hit the jumper mm-hmm. or drive.
I agree. You have to make some adjustments just like that in game two.
I mean, if Embiid cannot go, if he cannot shoot the jumper from the outside, place him down in the block. If he can't do that, go with Scott. Move the ball around. Simmons can play the pick and pop with Butler mm-hmm. and Harris. And Redick, you just get him open on a screen.
I think you have some impeccable ways to adjust. I admire it. Now, Tyron, you remember when I said, well, Ben, early in the season, the only way to punish Ben and get him to take jump shots was to do what?
You said to move, change his position. And that was back when we still had Fultz.
When you're ready to be a one, we're going to play at the four.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that, obviously. And they went on an entire year without him shooting a shot. And now here they are in the playoffs, and he's not going to change now. So you got to figure out how to get him on the scoreboard. All right, 4 o'clock, we got some interesting stuff happening. First, we have the Big Green giveaway, and then some fascinating details on the Mike Miss Open coming up in 5 minutes right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.